Public forum is the time to address the board with items that are not on the agenda.
Thank you very much for the time today. Let's start with the slides.
And if I could ask you, Orrin, you're going to have to get on the microphone and get comfortable there for a minute.
Okay.
Introduce yourself and into the record, please. And I'll remind you, I know that you have, this is something that you asked me this morning to bring, and so this is an unscheduled thing, but I would just ask you to move through these in a timely manner.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Orrin Plocker. I live from McKinleyville, California. I run a small company called Freshwater Environmental Services. I've been involved with the research of dioxin over the past several years for several different clients. I've got a master's degree in geology, geochemistry. So I just want to look at how the dioxin and wood waste have been handled in the past. 1947, I got two wood mills here, and these are plumes of wood ash that are coming together. The wood ash is disposed of right on site without any transportation at all. Okay.
Right there.
Okay, so this is a wood ash coming from this burner. This is a whole plume coming out here, and these formed in about 4 months. And it's in the Arcata area. And so presumably some of this drainage ends up in Humboldt Bay. How do I advance?
Yeah, where's that at? Is that Sierra Pacific?
No, this is in Arcata. It's in the central part of town.
Okay.
Like where the fire station property is, the Arcata Voluntary Fire Department is
okay.
In that area.
Thank you.
There were 300 mills in the Humboldt area at one point. From 1947, this is out of the Schuster collection from HSU.
Okay.
And we've got actually 6 month intervals where we show the conical burner. First, they were just burning the wood, dumping the ash on the ground, then they built a conical, and then the ash plume started growing, coalescing, and then you have runoff coming off the ash piles. So I just wanted to come up to speed here and look at, you know, like what are the various sources of dioxin, ranges of concentration. At the very top, we have the biomass fly ash and residues. Now, this is a European study, and they use ITEQs, international TEQs, developed by NATO back in 1988. So the bottom is their scale, but it's about a 10% skew. So I gave you the 10% skew and saying that the fly ash residues have an average concentration about 900 TEQ and can range over 9,000. Compost, just normal compost, is in the area of 10 average, and then the various other fuels there. And what I want to point out here is the current residential standard that we're using, I'm held to a level when I do cleanups of properties at 4.6 parts per trillion for residential development, and DTSC is using 40 for ag properties, cleaned up the McGuire Ranch, requiring them to remove down to 40 parts per trillion.
Hey, Orrin, can I interrupt you really quick? So the TEQ, how does that relate to a TCDD equivalent?
That is a TCDD equivalent, but the way we get there is through various factors. There's a whole set of factors.
The conjugers and the multiplication of conjugers.
Right, and there's many multiplication factor schemes.
Right.
And so it's important that we all recognize the importance of the using the proper TEFs. And when we're talking TEQs, knowing what we're talking about.
But you're saying that TEQs are essentially equivalent to a TCDD equivalent. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is all normalized to 2378 TCDD. So, so that's just what I wanted to show you was the concentration of that stuff. You know, in Humboldt Bay is listed as impaired with dioxin equivalents as of 2010. Humboldt Bay is also the largest source of oysters in the state of California. And we're going to look at some of the impacted media. So these are receiving water samples from Humboldt Bay taken by the Arcata wastewater plant. And it has octadioxin is present. These are in parts per quadrillion. But we have dioxin in the water of Humboldt Bay that if you go out there and take a scoop and measure it, you're going to find it. You're going to find the OCDD. If we look at the sediments, these sediments, again, let's always keep in mind our 4.6 is a residential standard. Indian Island has a sample at 46. Clark Slough has a 38. Mad River Slough, which we're looking at, has a 17. So all of these are well in excess of what we are using as a residential standard. And then we also do tissue sampling at the Oyster Bay Festival, which is the 7th of 10th largest food festival in the world. Approximately 18,000 attendees come to have those oysters. So again, and what these funny plots are, these are forensic plots that we use for fingerprinting so that we can put a picture on what the dioxin actually looks like rather than just looking at a single number. So the top oyster is blown at 4.2 parts per trillion TEQ, which is almost to the point you couldn't build a house on it. Okay? And they go down, and if you look at other web pages, there's either even higher concentration oyster tissue samples. It accumulates in the fat, and then it bioaccumulates in the people that eat it. This is a picture that I took last Friday. The Mad River Slough, the dunes are in the distance. The Mad River Slough is between here and there, and this is a pile of wood combustion byproduct being applied in a stockpile with cattle on both sides. No stormwater BMPs. It rained last night half an inch. I wonder what it looks like. This is what it looks like when they were applying it. The ground was wet, lots of standing water. In fact, since then, they've had to build a road of ash out here to cover up the puddles because it was too muddy to work in. As of last night, we had significant track out coming out of the site of the dioxin containing combustion byproducts going out onto the road and onto the Highway 255. And this is just to show, there's this ramp that they built of dioxin. It's right up against the cattle fence, cattle on both sides. Everything's wet. It's a big pile. It's not a small pile. Every time I go out there, I go over there at noon, and there's constantly trucks dumping and then spreading, dumping and pushing it off, just building a deck out there like they're going to build something. Question is about runoff. There are no BMPs that I can see that would protect stormwater runoff. And when we look at stormwater runoff BMPs, this is at the Fairhaven Power Plant. We got four rows of hay bales for BMPs, and yet we still end up with the migration of ash material into the public right away. The location of the farm is up there in red. The Mad River Slough is to the left. This is Humboldt Bay with the tide out. Oyster farms use the Mad River Slough to hang their product and store it and whatnot. And, you know, to me, it's not, it's all wet. It periodically floods. That stuff's going to end up into the Mad River Slough and into Humboldt Bay. So let's look at, the question is, do you believe that dioxin bioaccumulates and that it actually will have an effect on our food chain? This is Georgia-Pacific data. The bottom forensics plot is of a fly ash, a wood fly ash. That's at 652 TEQ. These are using WHO 2005. Up above is a grass sample. And what we do with forensics is that we can see the patterns of, we can look at the patterns of dioxin, and the pattern of dioxin that's in the ash is being brought directly up into the grass, and it's a whopping 0.5 parts per trillion in the grass. And what happens to that grass is the cattle eat it. Then they produce, not the happy cow, but the cattle eats it. He produces his organic dairy products, grass-fed beef, and then we eat those, and it accumulates in our triglycerides and our fat cells. Most of our body burden of dioxin comes from the eating of dairy products. A lot of dairy products and a lot of ash being spread commingled with them. So I guess, let's see, I just want to leave you with this slide. So we keep on looking at the property owners that are trying to develop residential properties are held to a 4.6. I can't take a shovel of soil over 4.6 and put it on a farm field without a WDR. Don't even know if I could get there. Okay, I got to haul this ash out of the area at 30 at huge cost and prohibiting residential development. But yet at the same time, I look across the bay and we got piles of stuff stacking up that's going to be in the thousands of TEQ. Now, it's either a risk at 4.6, and this is serious business, or it's not. So if we go ahead and approve the permit as written, between now and 2013, there'll be 4.2 million pounds of dioxin-containing combustion byproducts will be land applied. Based on current practices, because they are dumping at the nearest ranch to the facility next to the bay, based on current practices, some if not all of the 4.2 million pounds we place in the Humboldt Bay watershed, combustion products will not be required to be analyzed for metals or dioxin. Cumulative loading of ag soils will not be required to be analyzed for metals or dioxins. And surface waters adjacent to the ag soils will not be required to be analyzed for metals or dioxin.
Sorry, sir, I'm just going to interrupt you here. I thought the presentation was okay up until this slide because it's general information and we're in the public forum section. And so if you want to comment on items on the calendar, on the agenda, you can do so at that time. But I'm going to advise the chair to stop the – once you're getting into a specific permit, this is not the appropriate time to be discussing it.
Okay.
So noted. Any board member questions on this, by the way? Mr. Corbett.
Yeah. First of all, have you analyzed the different types of dioxin by which would be really good about going back to the different sources ultimately? But
yeah, we've built a database. We have 219 dioxin analysis in a database that we can do the forensics on of all various sources of sediment, biological sampling, wood ash, pentachlorophenol. I mean, we have a huge library that we use for our forensics. That, if that's the question, yes, we've looked at a lot.
Okay. And my second is, and maybe it got answered by the last exchange with council, but what do you want and why?
I know it's a tough economy, and I know that the Office of Fairness is closed because of the economy.
Well, I don't think so, but.
Okay, well, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing my 4.6 that I can't do anything with. It's a stumbling block for development, yet this stuff of equally greater hazard is being able to be applied without any permits, regulations, oversight, and we're just letting it continue for another year. And that's bothersome to me.
Right. So are you trying to advocate ultimately a change in the 4.6, or you're concerned about a permit that would go elsewhere?
Board
and we can't take action tonight today, and we can't get into a permit if that's coming up, because we can have that in the permit. But I'm still having a little trouble with what you want.
Yeah, what I want is I want
Excuse me, I'm going to interrupt again. This is Samantha Olson, your counsel. I'm going to see, that's one of the problems with bringing up a specific item in a general. We don't even know what permit. So I'm not saying we can't discuss it. I'm saying we should discuss this issue at the appropriate time in the calendar. And so if you would identify what item you would like to discuss, I would ask that we defer the discussion.
I think there is a huge separation. If it's a permit coming up, I totally agree with counsel. If he wants to at some point have a look at the 4.6, that's a little different issue. And then I do agree with you that if the board is interested, the format would either be our standard permit format or setting a public hearing of some kind on it. But I do want to find out, are you concerned with the 4.6 or a permit, or is it both? Or it's confusing.
Right. If the 4.6 is legitimate, then what's taking place or proposed to be taking place is inappropriate.
Okay, in a permit, in a future permit.
In the DG Fairhaven in PDS.
Okay.
And I didn't say that.
To have the comments in that.
Related to the Fairhaven, DG Fairhaven in PDS that allows another 365 days without oversight, regulation, or sampling to dispose of the stuff any place they want.
I understand what you want. Item 3 needs to get taken off consent.
That's correct.
We can bring you up at that time.
Okay, so Orrin, if I can stop you right there. For one thing, thank you for bringing this to us. You have a lot here. I'm not so sure that this is just related to one permit. I think, why don't we do this? My suggestion is we'll pull item 3. You have a second speaker card here. We could bring this back and talk in specifics as it relates to the permit. And we will take, by the way, I wanted to acknowledge that you gave these slides to us in printed form, so we have that as well. So why don't we stop right there? Because it is a slippery slope in public comment to do this.
I'm not well versed on this.
Right. These would need to be introduced reintroduced for the permit.
Yes, you did fine, Orrin. It's just that this is a big thing to chew in public comment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And thanks to counsel for clarifying it, but we had to work through what he wanted.
Okay, I have a second speaker card on this, Christina Pletcher.
Okay,
so why don't we pull it for then? Okay, so we'll wait. Okay, public comment. Okay, so we're going to move on. We had a request from the California Dairy Quality, to have a second public comment period here to address some of the issues with the dairy permit and an update. And I know we had an update last month as we were north, so this was asked to come this morning to bring it to the dairy belt in the south. So I have several speaker cards here, and why don't we do Dominic Carnelli first?
Thank you.
Good morning, Dominic.
Morning. I'm just speaking on the dairy permit process that we've gone through. I've been in this for a long time. We started with Dr. Joseph and Dennis Salisbury way back in the 60s, and Farm Bureau in Western United has been real active with it, and we've had a good working relation with the board. On April 12th, we had a workshop in Runner Park for all the dairies in the North Coast region. It went over, I feel, very well. We got a lot of explanation on what's expected and how to fill out the forms and so on. And I think it's moving along in an orderly process. I'd just like to thank you people for working with us, and hopefully us with you. Staff has come out and done a lot of assessments on individual ranches, which I was one of them, and I appreciate their input and their comments and so on. So that was my only comment this morning, is that I appreciate all the work we've put into this thing and hope we can continue working together.
You know, Dominic, I really appreciate you taking the time to come here again and your continued involvement. As a steward of land out there and as a guy that's been in this business for a long time, you speak with real credibility about what it means to have a permit to come to you. And I very much appreciate you coming here and telling us about, you know, the good side of this thing. This permit, I think, shines a bright light on a collaborative process that continues. And I really appreciate your involvement in it and the dairy community.
Okay, thank you.
It's super important. So please come back, too. It's always good to see you and hear how this is going.
If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them, but that was my only issue.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank
you. That's a good issue.
You're back.
Okay. I have a speaker card, and I saw Melissa. Are you ready? Okay. Melissa from the West United Dairymen. Good to see you.
Good morning. Perfect timing.
Absolutely.
Thank you again for having us. We always appreciate the opportunity to be here. As most of you know, my name is Melissa Lima, and I am a field representative with Western United Dairymen, and I represent roughly 100 of the 150 dairies that fall into the North Coast region's new dairy program. And I just, again, appreciate the opportunity to come back to you once again, and thank you for your hard work and your staff's hard work on behalf of our dairy producers. As you all know, dairy producers the last several years have faced some really challenging times, and the last several months have been, you know, some of the getting worst parts of those times. We've had some high fuel prices, high feed prices, and we're not getting a lot of money for our milk. So the fact that we had over 90% of our dairy producers in attendance at 3 CDQAP workshops, and the fact that just about 100% of our dairy producers have turned in or are in the process of turning in their notices of intent this week really speak to the amazing staff that you guys have working on this project. They've done a wonderful job forming very good relationships with our dairy producers. We're working on setting up some inspections of dairies in June. When we hear the word waterborne inspection in most areas in the state, that's not a very good phrase, but we have dairy producers arguing with me about whether or not they're going to get on the schedule for June. They want you guys out there. They want to know what they have to do. We're proud of what we do. We're proud of the steps we've already taken to improve the water quality in the region, and we're looking forward to working hard to continue not only maintaining good water quality, but maintaining a good relationship with the water board and the water board staff. So just my kudos to you and especially your wonderful staff. Sherry has been great to work with. We don't find in a lot of areas that our producers are on a first name basis with their water board staff members, and here they are. So it's just been a real pleasure, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Melissa, thank you. I see, Mr. Corbett.
Yeah, do you have a map, and I'm not trying to get too personal, but where the different dairies are that are located? Because just my concern as a board member, and as far as I know, we've included all the different dairy types, but you say dairy, it's sort of like a world view. If you're a dairy farmer over here, they got these problems, and over there, those problems.
Right.
And if I had a map, that it'd give me a really good sense of in precision who you're representing. Perhaps it's on your website, but just some way you have an impressive number of dairies signed up. We appreciate that. and you're taking the time, but just to make sure that we haven't, as a board member, I don't want anybody left out. That's
a very good question. In fact, this afternoon, one of our group monitoring programs is sort of getting together and working on mapping where the different dairies are in the region and how to best tackle the monitoring aspect of the program. So we'll definitely have that available at some point, just knowing where our dairies are located in the region and what challenges they face. We have found that every dairy is different. I think that's been a big learning curve through this process, especially filling out these NOIs. You know, not everybody fits into the little boxes. And so you guys have done a great job adapting to those differences. And we just have, it's been a real pleasure. And we don't get to say that a lot. So thank you. And especially thank you to the staff. Okay.
Well, Melissa, every time we've gotten together on this issue, it smiles, it's good news, it's from hard work. It's from your hard
Absolutely.
Work as well, and your organization. I see Paul Martin, and I want to acknowledge Paul as well and your efforts. You know, we just got to keep bringing gold stars on this program. It is really a good thing, and to hear that dairy producers are out there and engaged and, you know, doing things and interested in how this goes for them. I think we couldn't have asked for anything better. So, you know, again, please come back.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate you coming.
Thank you. Thank you very much for
Any
the opportunity.
Questions? Okay.
Thanks,
Melissa. Okay. And then I have two other speaker cards. I have, Dan Meyer, and I have Denise Mono. Denise is going to go first.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Denise Molinex, and I'm the assistant director with the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program. And I didn't think I was going to make it this morning with traffic delays. But at any rate, I did, and I'm happy to be here. I just wanted to provide you with a little bit of update. You mentioned previously when talking with Melissa about dairy producers and their interest in compliance with the new dairy regulations. And we've worked very hard within the CDQAP partnership, which I think you're familiar with from previous previous meetings, but we did offer three workshops to the dairy producers within the region, two up in Ferndale and one here locally in Ronet Park, and we saw over 106 dairy producers of our 135 plus, so they're very much interested and engaged, and I think out of that, we were told that about 46 following those meetings had already filed their NOIs. So they're very definitely engaged and wanting to work with you and work with your staff and be compliant with the new regulations. I also wanted to provide a very big thank you to your staff members. We had no fewer than three of your staff at every single one of our workshops, and they were there poised with forms in hand and there to answer questions and work with the dairy producers. And I think that's kudos to your board and to your staff members for doing that. So we greatly appreciate that. Even prior to that, their time commitment to the program was just incredible. They did everything from review education materials to, you know, provide us with a lot of intel about some of the local practices and so forth to make sure that we were effective. So we certainly appreciate that. We also had a video that was provided by Kat Coleman herself speaking to the producer. So it really went over well. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Deanne Meyer, who is with the University of California Cooperative Extension. I know you've heard from her in the past. She's our program module coordinator, and she's going to tell you a little bit in detail about the workshops themselves. So thank you.
Any questions, by the way? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. And Deanne Meyer.
Good morning.
Good morning, Deanne.
We're back.
It's a good thing.
Since I know comments should be short, I actually drafted it out so number one, I wouldn't miss.
For the record, you need to state your name.
I'm sorry, Deanne Meyer, Livestock Waste Management Specialist at UC Davis. I come over here, I assume we know who I am. Sorry about that. For the record, sorry about that. So I put my comments on paper just so we don't miss too much. As a module coordinator for the Environmental Stewardship Program, I have the opportunity to work with all our partners and with staff from the various agencies. We strive to provide educational opportunities for compliance assistance to dairy operators and their representatives or their consultants. And we reference the regulatory documents at every step in this process. So when we're giving a class, we have orders in hand. If someone has a question, we say on page 3, paragraph 4, you will find that answer. So they get more familiar with the documents, and the binding on the documents actually gets opened up. It's very important. So we refer to the regulatory documents. We work to develop draft templates, and we call them drafts until they've made the circle and gone through the staff here at the Water Board, as well as out to some of our partner representatives. So Paul and Melissa and others here in the region have the opportunity to review those draft documents. So what we think folks need to understand is there, and they can get the message and be able to use those templates for their record-keeping activities. And then, of course, we conduct classroom education. We firmly believe that dairy operators are their own best resource, that they know how to manage their facility as long as they understand what the objectives are, and that if we help them understand those objectives, they'll do a better job than any consultant they can hire. We know they need consultants at time, but the day-to-day management is not done by someone who's not there at the dairy farm. So prior to the adoption of the orders in January, we committed to work with your staff and present 3 separate workshops between January and the November 30th deadline. Our first workshop was held earlier in this month, pending the April 30th due date next week, and partial funding for the meeting was provided by the USDA Risk Management Agency. So we were very grateful for their funding because it allowed us to purchase a 3-inch binder with 15 tab insets and lots of opportunity for folks to track and keep their records all in one logical place, and then to provide all these templates we just talked about. So I'd like to briefly go over what our workshop was about. It was called Navigating the Water Quality Permit Process in the North Coast, and Denise and I drafted materials, and then we sent it over to Sherry, Mark, and Matt to review, and after they had their opportunity to look at it, then it went out further to the RCD staff because it required input from the RCD folks, and Francis up in Humboldt and Valerie here in Sodiomi, and some of Paul Martin, Western United, and Melissa had the opportunity to provide input into the draft PowerPoint, and then it went forward from there. So here's how the producers spent 3 hours of a day. We had a brief overview of the CDQAP, so folks understood our program, and Denise does an outstanding job with that. Since the Risk Management Agency was paying for the meeting, we opted to give them a commercial message on their livestock gross margin program. And then we had the opportunity for greetings from Executive Officer Kat Coleman. And I have to say, we are going to miss you. And we absolutely wish you the best in your new position as the Assistant Deputy Secretary for Oceans and Coastal Matters at the California Natural Resources Agency. We appreciate everything you've done for leadership here in the region. And your fingerprint and your footprint has been across things for quite some time. Yes, a very gentle and guiding, but it's just remarkable. And I work with regional boards throughout the state of California, and without a doubt, as Tam said, this is my favorite regional board. There is no second. So then we went into an overview of the regulatory options, which is rather dry and boring, but people need to understand history so they understand where we got to, how we got to where we are. It covers the history of Port of Cologne, Title 15, Article 27, and as the regulatory component made in 1984 on livestock has meandered through the regulatory process and what kind of tools are available. And then we went through, you know, the 3 options here. Door number 1, they could do the conditional waiver. Door number 2, they could do a general waste discharge requirement. Or door number 3, they could go to the NPDES permit. So we very detailed went through the waiver and the WDR. And then under the general dairy industry updates, we talked about the assessments. Sherry provided us with updates on those assessments, and we shared that with the producers. And then we either had Francis or Valerie go through and discuss the mapping things. We've made a template so people understand if they want to do it themselves. They have directions on how to go online and make their own map and what kind of little symbols they could use so they all look alike. So when your staff see them, they're not trying to figure out, ooh, what's the dot instead of a star. And it just makes it easier for everyone. And then we talked about EQIP funding. And then we took a break, which was about 5 minutes. And we plowed into completing the notice of intent. And checking the boxes are really simple if you just sit down and don't care which box you check or what it means. But when you actually have to answer the question, yes, I understand the statewide minimum standards, that means you have to really understand what the statewide minimum standards are. So we took the opportunity to talk about those. We reviewed the prohibitions and pointed out what pages to find those in your orders. We talked through pond management. We talked through the monitoring and reporting programs, because all of these little things have a little box. Yes, I understand this. Yes, I'm going to participate in this. And yes, I get a clue. So we went through every one of those, and it's a little box, but it takes quite a few slides. It's a little dry, but we managed our way through. We reviewed a template that was made for standard operating procedures for the monitoring reporting program, because there are lots of visual observations that need to be done in these orders, and there's no way a guy is going to go out or a gal and mark daily that they did this or this. So we've come up with an exception template report and worked with your staff to make that acceptable to them. And then we also provided a template for the surface water sample recording, so folks could really try to embrace the idea, do I want to really work for some kind of a group-wise monitoring on surface water, or am I willing to commit to do this to myself? And when you see what it is you're filling out, if you're going to bite the bullet and do it yourself, you might get the idea that a group-wise monitoring is preferential. If there's more than one person in your little watershed, that would work. Throughout this process, we were very fortunate to work with Lisa when we were working on the permit process, and Sherry. And then as we got into the meetings and the review of the materials, Sherry, of course, and Mark put a lot of effort into it. And then we had at our meetings, Sherry and Scott and Paul and Mark came down to the Roanoke Park meeting. So we're really fortunate to have your staff. It's a huge time commitment on your part to let staff out of the office that long. It's a really important commitment, and we certainly appreciate it, because it gives the opportunity for the operators to work with them and understand the staff aren't here to put you out of business. The staff are here to help you comply with the regulations, because we all want better water quality. So as part of our program, we introduced audience response clickers, and that was really cool and fun. Blue is the favorite color of most people, except in Roanoke Park, where it's green. Just as a point of information, after all these meetings, it's interesting. We asked folks ahead of time, did they feel they understood the three water quality options for their dairy, the regulatory process, and 34% said no. 34% said yes, excuse me, leaving 66 at the beginning of the meeting saying no. At the end of the meeting, we asked if they plan on using the RCD for their map making to help our RCD folks prepare. 93% jumped all over that. And as mentioned at the last board meeting, there's been a grant provided to the RCDs to pay for that process. So that's wonderful. Of the folks who answered the question, which permit process do they plan to go to, 92% said they're interested in the conditional waiver. And we'll see how that ferrets out when we're all done, because, of course, everybody still wasn't quite sure when they answered that question. And when we asked, do you plan to come to our next class so we could figure out if we had big enough rooms, we figure we'll see almost everyone there, as 90% of the folks said that. In our next class, we're just developing our flyer right now. Seems like we just finished, but we're starting up again. And we anticipate to cover the maps, the storage calculations, how do they use numbers that they have to help figure out their storage calculations, part of their either their water quality plan or their waste management plan, depending on which order they go to. Introduction to the monitoring program and surface and groundwater monitoring. And our guess is that's another 3-hour class, because we really want them to take the time and do the map, and then the RCD can take it in hand. We anticipate another class August, September-ish, and they'll get back their map and they can finalize their map and figure out what else needs to be done. Finalize the water quality plan. There's a lot of details in that, and we will work very closely with staff to come up with a method that both gets the answers they need, the staff needs the information they need, without making it overly burdensome on the operators to have to write long narrative paragraphs. So we have some ideas on how to do that, as well as talk about annual reports. Although one isn't due, folks need to consider down the road and what they need to start collecting and keeping things on the dairy. So in closing, I'm confident as we go through the first year of the process, there are going to be lots of technical questions that arise both from staff as well as the dairy producers. And, you know, I certainly look forward to working with your staff to resolve these technical issues with whatever information I can find in either the scientific literature or standard practices, and working with NRCS in that venue. So thank you for your time, and thank you so much for your dedication and the dedication of your staff.
You know, I just can't thank you guys enough collectively. You know, you in particular bring the credibility of UC Davis. By the way, go Aggies, right? And
no pepper spray.
Yeah.
It is edible.
Yeah. But just, and I think you also shine the light, too, on the fact that when a new program or a program shift comes out like this, in this case a new program, the importance of not only education and understanding, but feedback, participation, and then results and outcomes and expectations. And I think that is absolutely happening here. As I said, every time we get together on this and we hear about this, I it just makes me feel good. And this is a collective effort, and we realize that. We very much appreciate that. And I appreciate your efforts. And to hear that you had 90% participation, that's incredible.
Yeah, we had good participation. We have some dairies that are in, you know, a long drive from either Ferndale or from Roanoke Park, and we're going to see what we can do to help accommodate them at our next meeting. I've been in personal contact with a couple of the outlier individuals, not all of them yet, but we'll do our best for that. And it's a big process. It's a different process for people, and, you know, as much as there was opportunity for absolute anger and frustration, very few people were vocal about it. Very few people. And I think that just speaks so highly of the individuals that you're regulating, and it also speaks so highly of the demeanor of your staff.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Massey?
Mr. Chair, particularly with our staff, but with the people involved with this, is there a way that we can clone the excitement that you guys have about cleaning up dairy waste? Because in sewers, we really need your help.
You know, biotechnology is wonderful. Go for it. We're very fortunate. You know, we come to the North Coast after having gone to the School of Hard Knocks in the Central Valley, and myself personally having worked through NPD-ESWDR rewrites down in the Santa Ana Board in the 90s. I've been at this position almost 20 years now, and it's just a real special collection of characters, and our choice every day as we get out of bed is to be excited about our day or to be really negative about it. And the good thing is, in our little collection of characters, if one person's off, the rest of them are going to knock them in the tush and say, get rid of it. We got to go do this job, and let's just make it happen. We all want good water quality, and there's no better place than the North Coast. So,
we are region number one, you know.
Yes, Tam. We are.
Absolutely.
For a reason.
Absolutely. We deserve that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I wanted to just take a moment, and Sherry, I don't know if you wanted to address us, but at the same time, I just want to encourage, as this thing goes forward, to please keep us informed. I don't know. The one question I had is when enrollment, I can't recall off the top of my head, when enrollment period ends. That was a six-month enrollment, I believe, from January. So is that correct to say it's July?
This is Sherry Blatt, the Water Resources Control Engineer for the Regional Water Board staff. Yes. The regional board adopted the dairy permits on January 19th, 2012. People had about 99 days to because we wanted to make it April 30th for end of month, you know, deadlines. So people have until April 30th to enroll. We have over 80 notice of intent submitted to date, so we're waiting for about another 40 to 50 notice of intent. And I expect some will be late. So we are working with the Office of Enforcement to draft a letter for the folks that are late about giving them just a few weeks to, you know, submit that notice of intent late. And then the enforcement begins after that. So we'll give them a deadline in the letter. So we're working really hard on a letter for that. The next deadline is the water quality plan for the waiver is due November 30th, 2012. And then the next deadline for the GWDR is January 19th, 2013. They have to have a waste management plan, nutrient management plan implemented.
We'll carry on.
Okay.
It's fantastic. And by the way, Lisa, too, thank you. This is just a really good thing. I think this program and the way that it has been done with partnerships, with education, with intent, with good staff, good leadership from our executive officer and everywhere else, this thing is a shining light. So thank you very much. Come back and talk to us again.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. I have one more speaker card for public forum, Mr. Dan Fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan Fine from Monterio. And I'm here to talk not about cows, but about humans and the waste that they produce. I've been working as a member, previously a member of the Russian River Redevelopment Oversight Committee on a task group to develop a solution for Monterio's wastewater issues. That the history of that you know well. We attempted to build a sewer plant 10 years ago that became too expensive and fell through, and we're back here. Meanwhile, you guys are passing new regulations, and so we're being forced to not just sit and wait for you. So the task group worked together for about a year and a half to develop a problem statement, essentially. And, you know, our big issue is to convince the community that there's actually an issue. We did that, and our next step was to develop a study of what feasible options there are for solving the septic issues in the Monterio area. That's going to take some money. We went to our redevelopment to get the cash to do those studies. It was tentatively approved. However, about the same time, Governor Brown pulled the plug on redevelopment. So now we're back where we started. And we not only are back where we started, we don't have redevelopment to fund a task group or any of that. So where we are at the moment is that we have a citizens group that meets once a month and is continuing to work on the issues. We're now at the point where working on the issues means just finding a way to communicate with the community because we don't have the money to send out quarterly newsletters as we were doing. So we're at that stage now. We're looking for what options we have. One of them, obviously, there's a sewer plant up the road from us in Guerneville. And we could conceivably connect to that. The last time that was looked at, it was considered not the best option. We're looking for an option that provides us with as much local control as possible, that is affordable to the citizens in the area. We are an economically challenged area. And if possible, to not discharge anything into the river ever. What we need, number one thing we need is community support. This will not go. We'll be in an endless fight if we don't convince the community, A, that it's in their best interest, B, that it's within their pocketbooks and that, you know, all the support that's possible can be provided to them, and C, that it's important to do. But what we need from your board are very clear parameters on what will be allowed. You know, what's feasible is one thing, what's allowable is another. And so we understand that you're working on a TMDL study and that we're kind of in limbo waiting for that. But if you can give us some guidance between now and whenever that comes out, we would rather be ahead of the issue than waiting for you to come down and say, here's what you have to do. And finally, we're going to need some cash. The community has essentially no money. The county has some, but not enough to do a project like this. So we're going to have our biggest job once we get community support is to get the money. And one really leads to the other. So that's what we're working on. I'm sure I'll be talking to you more in the future, but I wanted to introduce myself now. And also to say I don't represent anybody here but myself, but, you know, we're just kind of a group of citizens working together, and I happen to be the only one that showed up this morning. So I'm happy to answer any questions, and if not, then I'm sure I'll see you again.
Well, I'm glad you did show up. I appreciate you coming. Mr. Messi?
Thank you, Mr. Norton. Ordinarily, I am into humor, but in this case, I would like to say very, very seriously, Mr. Fine, you and a handful of others really are dedicated to this, particularly when you get the discouragement of missing out on a project for money and then having the redevelopment agency money go away. And you are still here, and I congratulate you for working for your community, because you really, really are doing what citizen soldiers do, and we will win.
Okay.
But thank you for coming.
Thank you. And also, I would like to express my gratitude to Mr. Massey, who's attended numerous meetings in our area, and also to Luis and Kat, who've been very involved, and Dave Leland. So to all of you, and Kat, I didn't realize you were going, but. Sorry to see you go. Yes. Thank you.
We'll see you again. I wanted to take a moment also, and I didn't know really where to do this, but Dan, you give me an opening to acknowledge that this is Kat Coleman's last board meeting. And I say that with a tear in my eye. I actually came in when, as a board member, as Kat came back from EPA, and I was indoctrinated about how to be a good board member and how to be a responsible board member. And
you're
to,
still working on it.
I absolutely am still working on it.
We may have to call her back for further indoctrination.
Do a reason why she can't leave.
I wanted to just acknowledge, though, the change. I wanted to acknowledge your hard work and your integrity and your work to this agency and guiding it. And I would be remiss right now if I did not do that and to address the public as we're here. I think the party's going to be a little bit at a later date, but nonetheless, the work that's been done and the work that carries through from your guidance and leadership is incredible. And I wish you, from here, the greatest luck.
All right.
I'll save my speech for later.
I couldn't
Thank
help.
You so much.
I could not help myself. Okay. We do have uncontested items.